stopping before walking in, he checked the cylinder of his .44. Letting the gun slide loosely into the holster, he walked inside. Gardner was standing at the bar with his back to the door while talking with another man. Whiskers walked slowly over and jerked Gardner's gun from the holster. Gardner grabbed his empty holster and turned around to face Whiskers. "What in the heck did you do that for?" Whiskers shoved the pistol behind his belt buckle. "Figured we'd better have us a talk before I have to kill you." "Kill me? Why would you do that?" "Last warning. You keep following me and I'll drop you like the idiot you are. I'm not leading you to any gold and you'll not get what I got on me." "I sure wasn't following you. I don't give a darn where you go or how much gold you've got." "Last warning. When I ride on north, you follow, and 1 mile from town I'll knock you from your saddle." Whiskers handed him back his pistol, turned and walked from the bar. Gardner grabbed his drink, threw it down his throat, and then ordered another. He was beginning to rethink one man alone taking this mountain man. He knew he rode far enough back he was not seen, but yet the mountain man knew he was being followed and got the drop on him. "I'm going back and get Rankin and Dale. No telling how much gold this mountain man has stashed." The next morning, Whiskers rode on north, while Gardner kicked his horse all out, heading for Sullivan's ranch. Maybe he could find out which of the men was a good tracker and bring him along. A four-way split of a few $1,000s worth of gold wouldn't be all that bad. Shorty had stopped in Tres Piedras, watered Dunny, and refilled his canteens. Being only middle afternoon, he rode on north until nightfall, then made camp right after sundown. With a fire built and water on for coffee, he opened a can of beans to heat. Dunny blew through his nose and pointed his ears west. "Yeah, I hear 'em, boy. Let's let 'em ride on in." Shorty stepped away from the fire and took the thong from the hammer of his .45. Taking a currycomb, he worked on Dunny as the men rode into camp. "Small rat-faced fellow," said. "Howdy, stranger. Know you're on private land?" He had both hands on the saddle horn. "Nope. Figure it to be open range, being as that this is a stage road running over yonder 50 feet or so."
"Yeah, and that stage road runs right through the Hopewell Ranch. We don't cotton to nobody riding through here any time they want. Best you ride on tonight."
"You say this is the Hopewell Ranch. I'm guessing that would be Larry Hopewell?"
"Yeah, you know him."
"Nope. Heard a good dab, though. None good." The man straightened up and placed his hand on the butt of his pistol. Shorty smiled. "Feller, that gun starts to leave that holster, you've got one heck of a problem."
"Yeah, how's that? There's four of us."
"Yeah, but I'll kill you first, and at least a couple of them. Best you forget about me and ride."
"Ride my rear?"
He started to draw, so Shorty shot him, knocking him into the man's horse beside him. Not a one of them had made a play for their gun, knowing Cull would take this cowboy. Shorty still had his pistol. "Y'all can ride out and come back and bury your friend tomorrow. Or go for your guns and see if I get all three of you." The youngest of the three wanted to draw so bad his hand hurt. One of the other two screamed,
"Lambert, don't be a blasted idiot! He outdrawed Cull and still has that gun in his hand. You act dumb, he'll kill us all. Let's ride."
Lambert turned in the saddle, sitting there a moment longer, eyes blaring.
"Cowboy, you ain't seen the last of this. Cull was Larry's onlyest nephew. He'll send men after you, and by dog, I'll be with him."
"Then you'll die young." Shorty watched as they rode from sight in the darkness of the night. Eating his beans and drinking his coffee, he turned in to get some sleep.